From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Evidences of the Lord's Presence Among His People, part of this series in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns is focusing on verses 31 through 34 of Joshua chapter 22. When the 9.5 tribes heard that the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh had built an altar of their own on the east side of the Jordan, war was averted only when Joshua learned that those tribes had built that altar as a memorial to God and as a reminder to their children that they were part of the people of Israel. In the text, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, responds to the happy outcome with these words, "This day we perceive that the Lord is among us." This truth is one that should bring great encouragement to the people of God. In this day and age, how can we recognize the Lord's presence? As Dr. Cairns has shown, the first mark of God's presence is an emphasis upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the presence of the Lord will keep His people pure in doctrine and in practice. There will be faithful adherence to the truth of the Scriptures, as well as worship which is worthy of the God of heaven and earth. Next, God's presence among His people will unite them around the cross, regardless of their natural differences. This is the true unity of the church. Dr. Cairns will be with us in a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 25. Do as thou hast said. God's promises were never meant to be thrown aside as waste paper. He intended that they should be used. God's gold is not miser's money, but is minted to be traded with. Nothing pleases our Lord better than to see His promises put in circulation. He loves to see His children bring them up to Him and say, "Lord, do as thou hast said." We glorify God when we plead His promises. Do you think that God will be any the poorer for giving you the riches He has promised? Do you dream He'll be any the less holy for giving holiness to you? Do you imagine He will be any the less pure for washing you from your sins? He has said, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Faith lays hold upon the promise of pardon, and it does not delay, saying, "This is a precious promise. I wonder if it be true." But it goes straight to the throne with it and pleads, "Lord, here is the promise. Do as thou hast said." Our Lord replies, "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." When a Christian grasps a promise, if he does not take it to God, he dishonors Him. But when he hastens to the throne of grace and cries, "Lord, I have nothing to recommend me but this, thou hast said it," then his desire shall be granted. Our heavenly banker delights to cash his own notes. Never let the promise rust. Draw the word of promise out of its scabbard and use it with holy violence. Think not that God will be troubled by your importunately reminding Him of His promises. He loves to hear the loud outcries of needy souls. It is His delight to bestow favors. He is more ready to hear than you are to ask. The sun is not weary of shining, nor the fountain of flowing. It is God's nature to keep His promises. Therefore, go at once to the throne with, "Do as thou hast said."
Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call while God is near. God abundantly will pardon those who turn
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the LTBSradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827.
Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
The presence of God keeps His people pure in doctrine and in practice. This is what impressed Phinehas when he came to the 2.5 tribes in the altar of Ed. We see this in verse 31 in our text. This day we perceive that the Lord is among us. Why? Because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. And later down in verse 34, the altar will be an altar of witness between us that the Lord is God. These people were kept pure in doctrine and in practice. There had been there a great potential for apostasy and schism, neither of which developed. The reason was the Lord's presence among His people. Now, this is always the gracious evidence of God working amongst His people. He keeps them in the purity of the faith. John 16:13 tells us in the words of the Lord Jesus of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all the truth. In 1 Corinthians 2, the Apostle Paul expounds the ministry of the Holy Spirit as making us know the things that are freely given to us of God, leading us into the great doctrines of the faith, and especially to those doctrines which show us the things we have and are in the Lord Jesus Christ by free grace. Now, this is the evidence of the working of the Spirit of God in the midst of His people. Keeps them pure in their faith. Now, I recognize, and this is true even in New Testament times, you can see evidences of it in the New Testament, I recognize that uninspired men, and even inspired men in their uninspired moments, are not going to be right on every doctrine. Even Peter got wrong on the full understanding and application of the unity of all believers as justified by grace through faith on the merits of Christ. Even he got wrong in that. Barnabas went wrong in that, and it took Paul to upbraid the both of them. So even inspired men, in their uninspired moments, can go wrong. But I want to tell you, there is a central body of truth upon which saved men cannot go wrong. You cannot be a Unitarian and be a Christian. Let me make that clear. Unitarians are not Christians. I don't care if they're Sabellian Unitarians, Socinian Unitarians, or Arian Unitarians. If you don't understand those terms, don't worry, for they're all heretics. You cannot be a Christian and deny the deity of Christ. You cannot be a Christian and deny the true humanity of Christ. You cannot be a Christian and deny the impeccable sinlessness of Christ. You cannot be a Christian and deny the atoning death of Christ. You cannot be a Christian and deny the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. You cannot be a Christian and deny justification by free grace through faith without the works of the law. I'm not pretending that's the only, or those are the only elements in the central body of truth, but those are certainly outstanding elements in the central body of Christian truth. No true Christian can go wrong in those things. Now, by nature, churches will apostatize from those. The greatest churches on earth have almost all apostatized from those. You look at the Church of Rome. The Church of Rome was once one of the greatest churches on this planet. Today, it is not even a shadow of its former self. Today, it is a hotbed of apostasy, denying just about every essential doctrine of the Christian faith. You look at this church, or this country here, the Presbyterian Church in America, and I'm not using that as a denominational name for the PCA, I mean the Presbyterian churches in America, have a history of mighty knowledge. Presence and power of God. God used Presbyterians in this country in its most formative and needy stages to bring revival. I don't pretend he used only Presbyterians. God save us from that sort of bigotry that thinks here we are and there's nobody like us and God cannot use anybody but us. But he did use Presbyterians. You look the major Presbyterian denominations in America today, and they are a slander on the name of Jesus Christ. When you think that the church which once saw revival spent tens of thousands of dollars just a lot of months ago in promoting the worship of the goddess Sophia, you'll see how far they have fallen. By nature, churches decline. What a warning it is to us all. What is it that keeps a church from declining? It is the presence of God. Oh, how we need to plead that God will keep his presence among us, for that's what keeps us in the purity of faith. He keeps his people also in the purity of worship. This is too big a subject for me to even scratch the surface of this morning. There is a great clamor for newness in worship. A great clamor for new worship experiences. Let me tell you, I'm a great believer in what I will call a sane application of the regulative principle of Scripture. What the Scripture declares, necessitates, and allows is proper for our worship. But remember what worship is. It is recognizing the worthship of our God and Savior. It is singing His praise. It is praying through Him to our Father in heaven. It is recognizing that we have no good beyond Him. Worship is service to God. You know, that's what really makes Christian worship pure. The presence of God directing us to Him. Having a spine-tingling experience is no proof that you've been in a worship service. I have seen people having spine-tingling experiences, but they were not of God. The presence of God is necessary to put a lid upon our natural effervescence and keep our natural passions under control. Should there be emotion in Christian service and Christian worship? Yes, there should. The preacher who cannot weep over what he preaches, in my opinion, should never preach. The Christian who does not feel as the result of his worship, does not feel as the result of his hearing of the word, is either under the wrong ministry or is sadly departing from God. Yes, there should be emotion, deep emotion, real emotion that will break our hearts before our God. But, and this is the all-important thing, that emotion must be the product of a direct sight of the person, the glory, and the work of our Redeemer, and the revelation He gives us of our God. It's easy to work on people's emotions. It's easy to tell a sob story. It's easy to learn the little psychological tricks, to pull the psychological triggers that will produce certain emotional results. But in the long run, all they will do is burn people out and leave them destitute. But oh, let our emotions in our worship be called forth by the presence of God, purely pointing us to Christ. And that will be not only an uplifting, but an edifying, strengthening experience that will make us more and more the people we ought to be. The presence of the Lord keeps us in the purity of faith, keeps us in the purity of worship, because where He is, we will worship in spirit and in truth, and keeps us in the purity of life. The presence of God here kept these people from sin. I realize this, as you know, we're on Sunday evenings looking at the law of God, and I've been thinking a lot about it for a long, long time now. Just last night, as I was thinking and praying, I was thinking of the nation and what the nation needs, and thinking this morning again of how men are going mad, and they're getting worse and worse and worse. What could you do to stop this downward mad career? Well, we could pass new laws. Some people think the Congress shouldn't get involved in moral legislation. I think that's utter rubbish. The sooner they start passing moral legislation, the sooner they'll stop passing immoral legislation. So I'm all in favor of it. But that's not going to make America moral, because the very enunciation of moral law simply stirs up the passions of the ungodly man to do the very things he's commanded not to do. And unless you put the whole nation to death, all the legislation in the world is not going to do anything but make it more difficult for them to be immoral. What is needed? I realize what is needed is the vibrant reality of the presence of God with power among His people. That's what keeps people from sin. You remember the Lord's presence even restrained the heathen Abimelech from immorality. God kept him back from sinning. It's the presence of God makes his people pure. So this is the second great evidence of the Lord's presence among his people. The third is that he unites his people around the cross despite their natural differences. I want you to get that. Despite their natural differences, God's people are made one around the cross. Phinehas expected to meet division. Instead, he met around the altar of witness, pointing to the altar of sacrifice. He met in unity with those of like precious faith, and he attributed that to the Lord's presence. See what this means. The Lord kept them back from needless conflict and concentrated their firepower on the strongholds of the enemy. I would to God we would recognize that today.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.